Hey learner, welcome back for another deep dive. We both know you're all about getting to the heart of these big ideas quickly and without getting bogged down.
Absolutely. No time wasted here.
So today we're going to be looking at a document you sent over called Flex Forum Insights, and it dives into this idea of addressing these holes in the so-called value stack of electricity system flexibility.
Right, right. This is like a crash course in understanding how we can really unlock the power of flexibility from things like electric vehicles,
right,
solar panels, batteries, even things like your smart appliances.
Right, right.
And it's not just about, you know, saving money.
Right.
It's about having a reliable power system and a sustainable one.
Yeah.
That keeps costs down for everyone.
Absolutely. And Flex Forum, it's a group, it's a forum, as the name suggests,
yeah,
that brings together a wide range of voices from across the electricity sector here in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And they really put forward this idea of flexibility, like your ability to change when and how you use or generate electricity is absolutely vital. It gives you more control. But there's a problem. There are these holes in how we actually value that flexibility.
Yeah, exactly. Like we're trying to capture all of the benefits that flexibility offers in a bucket, right?
Yeah.
But the bucket's got some holes in it.
Right, right.
The current market mechanisms don't properly recognize or reward that value that flexibility can provide to the system.
Okay, so let's unpack this idea of the value stack then. What exactly is this concept referring to?
Well, the value stack, you can think of it as the total package of financial benefits, the incentives, the advantages you can get when you use your flexible resources like your EV or your solar panels to respond to signals in the electricity system.
Right, right. And these signals, are these things like changes in electricity prices, for example?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It could be changes in the price of electricity. It could be requests from the grid to reduce or increase your consumption or generation.
Right, right. Okay. And then these holes that we keep hearing about, what exactly is meant by a hole in this context?
So a hole, as FlexForm defines it, is when there's a missing or an inefficient, what they call, cash signal.
Mm-hmm.
So a cash signal is a financial incentive.
Okay.
That should be there to encourage, you know, owners of flexible resources to act in ways that benefit the system as a whole.
Mm.
But sometimes those signals are missing or they're not working very well.
Okay. Okay. So for the learner, you know, listening right now, why should this matter to them? Why should they care about these leaky buckets and these missing incentives?
Well, it matters because it has a direct impact on your costs, your household or business costs.
Right.
And the overall reliability of your electricity supply as well.
Mm-hmm.
So FlexForum points to some huge potential savings. I mean, the Boston Consulting Group estimates that New Zealand could save over $10 billion by 2050.
Wow.
By properly valuing flexibility.
Right.
So that's a huge amount. And, you know, households and businesses are expected to spend up to $150 billion in assets like EVs and batteries by 2050.
Yeah.
So making sure we're getting the most value out of that flexibility is just going to make those investments much smarter, you know?
Absolutely. Now, this is where it gets really interesting, I think, is that our current way of pricing electricity it's a little outdated, isn't it?
That's right. The basic pricing structures that we use today, they were mostly set up back in 1996.
Wow.
Before we had things like rooftop solar,
right,
electric vehicles, you know.
Yeah.
And the system was designed for more of a traditional model where you had, you know, big power plants and the demand was very predictable.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, apart from some tweaks to how we charge for transmission capacity, things haven't really fundamentally changed that much.
Okay. So these older systems, these older mechanisms, they're contributing to these holes, are they?
Yeah, exactly. So these gaps in incentives, they limit the options that you have as a consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And they prevent the power system from effectively managing, you know, unexpected situations. Think back to the energy shortage we had in May 2024, or the big disruptions that were caused by Cyclone Gabrielle.
Yeah.
In both those cases, having more flexibility could have really made a positive difference.
Right, right, right. Okay. So these flexibility options then, they need these cash signal. I mean, what are we talking about here? Is it like a direct payment every time?
Not necessarily a direct payment,
oh,
but it's about creating a financial motivation.
Yeah.
So these cash signals can take different forms. It could be, you know, direct payments for providing a specific service to the grid. It could be discounts on your electricity bill for shifting your energy use to off-peak times, or it could just be, you know, avoiding higher costs by using energy when it's cheaper.
Right.
The key point that FlexForm makes is that, you know, while you, the customer, you might not always see the exact financial transaction, you need to see a tangible benefit.
Right, right.
In order to be motivated to offer your flexibility.
Absolutely, yeah. And then the document goes on to outline, you know, four key electricity services and how they're currently priced. Can you give us a quick overview of what those are?
Sure. So the four main categories are the actual electricity supply, so generating the power, consuming power, ancillary services. So these are the essential functions that keep the grid stable, like maintaining the right frequency, transmission capacity management, so making sure those big high voltage lines don't get overloaded, and then distribution capacity management.
Right.
So that's the same idea, but for the local network of poles and wires that deliver electricity to your home.
Okay. So each of these then has different pricing mechanisms in place.
Exactly. And each one's aiming to elicit a particular response from flexible resources.
Yeah, like what do they call that response? It's like shift and shed and shape and shimmy, right? Yeah. What does that all mean?
Yeah. So these are the four main ways that flexibility can benefit the power system. And they're kind of categorized by how quickly the response has to happen.
Okay.
So shape, is like making longer-term adjustments to your energy consumption patterns. Often that's driven by time-of-use tariffs. So a good example of that is charging your EV overnight when prices are lower.
Okay.
Shift is about moving your energy use from one part of the day to another, perhaps to take advantage of lower prices.
Okay.
Or when the grid is less stressed.
Right.
Shed is an immediate reduction in your energy use.
Okay.
Typically in response to some urgent grid need.
Gotcha.
And then shimmy, shimmy's like the really fast, small adjustments that happen in seconds to maintain the quality of the electricity supply.
Oh, okay.
So things like voltage regulation.
Right, right, right. Okay. So with that kind of framework then, I mean, where are the key areas then where these cash signals are missing?
So FlexForm highlights two main areas. The first one is in dealing with transmission congestion.
Okay.
So the spot price, you know, the wholesale price of electricity is intended to signal when the main transmission lines are getting overloaded and encourage people to reduce their consumption or increase local generation.
Yeah.
But the report argues that it doesn't really do this reliably or frequently enough to really motivate that shift or shed type response.
Okay, but why not? I mean, surely if the price goes up, then people will naturally use less power.
It's a little more complicated than that. So for the spot price to be an effective signal for transmission congestion, the grid operator would essentially have to wait until the system was right on the edge of its limit before investing in upgrades. And that's not really a practical approach for ensuring a reliable network, right?
Right.
Additionally, retailers often hedge against those high spot prices by locking in prices in advance. So that kind of disconnects those real-time price spikes from what customers actually see or react to.
Right, right.
And then there's also this free rider problem.
Yeah, yeah.
If one retailer encourages its customers to reduce their demand and that everyone benefits from lower prices, there's less incentive for each individual retailer to take action.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And the second key area then where cash signals are missing.
So that's in managing congestion on those local distribution networks.
Okay.
The poles and wires in your neighborhood.
Right.
So currently, beyond things like demand-based pricing for very large users and discounts for controlled hot water, there aren't many routine financial incentives to encourage people to shift or shed their electricity use when the local network's under strain.
No.
And there's really virtually no incentive to support that very fast shimmy type of flexibility,
right?
That's needed for things like maintaining voltage levels.
Okay, okay. And it sounds like even when those cash signals do exist, the benefits don't always actually make their way to the people who own those flexible resources.
That's right. Yeah. So even if there is a financial incentive somewhere in the system, it doesn't always trickle down to you, the owner of of the solar panels or the EV. For instance, you know, while the spot price fluctuates up and down all the time, most residential customers don't actually have retail electricity plans that truly reflect those real-time price changes in a way that encourages them to change their behavior. Apart from, you know, basic time of use tariffs where the price is simply different at certain times of day.
They did mention, I think, Octopus Energy and their saving sessions as being a notable exception.
Yeah, that's right. So those are an example of a retail product that specifically aims to directly reward customers for reducing their energy consumption during periods of high demand. And there are some smart hot water control systems that offer similar benefits. But FlexForum emphasizes that these kinds of programs aren't widely available yet across all retailers or for all types of flexible resources.
And what about for those individuals then that have their own solar panels and are generating more electricity than they're using?
Yeah, this is a really important point.
Mm.
So the report highlights that often people don't have really good options for selling that excess solar power back to the grid at a fair price that reflects its actual value. You know, often the buyback rates are kind of averaged out and they don't reflect the real-time wholesale price of that exported energy.
Yeah, right.
They specifically mentioned the Kāinga Ora Wellington multiple trading trial, which showed that when people could sell their excess power at a rate closer to the spot price, they received an average of 29 cents per kilowatt hour, which is much, much better than typical flat rate buyback scheme. And then there are also those regulatory hurdles that can make it hard for individuals to, you know, both buy and sell electricity from different providers to really maximize their benefit. And finally, the technical requirements for participating in providing those fast, what we call shimmy ancillary services, they're often too restrictive, preventing lots of capable resources from participating.
Okay, so what's at the root of all of this then? I mean, why are we seeing all these missing signals and these inaccessible benefits?
Well, FlexForum argues that the core issue is a lack of sufficient incentives, both financial and non-financial, for the key players, the electricity retailers and the network operators, to really prioritize and overcome the obstacles to integrating flexibility. And they kind of categorize these obstacles into two main types.
What are those two types?
The first is practical and capability related barriers. So this includes things like a lack of widespread experience in actually utilizing this kind of distributed flexibility at a large scale. It's hard to prove that flexibility is going to be reliably available when it's needed.
It's like a chicken and egg problem.
Exactly.
You need the flexibility to prove it works, but you also need it to have been proven to get people to use it.
Yeah, that's right. And there's uncertainty about how long these flexibility-based solutions are gonna last compared to, you know, traditional infrastructure upgrades. And there's the costs involved in integrating all these diverse flexible resources into the existing system.
And the second category.
So the second category is financial and risk-related barriers.
Mm-hmm.
So for network operators, you know, investing in traditional infrastructure like poles and wires can sometimes seem more financially secure than relying on flexibility, especially when there isn't a clear way for them to earn a commercial return on the operational expenditure of utilizing that flexibility. And for retailers, there's this concern about being a first mover. You know, investing in all the systems you need to handle flexibility. And then having your competitors benefit. Without having to make that same initial investment.
Additionally, retailers often prioritize investments in large scale generation projects. And their existing IT systems might not be very adaptable to offering more sophisticated products to customers.
So if we could kind of wave a magic wand and fix all of these issues, what would that ideal electricity system look like then, you know, in terms of flexibility for everyday people?
Well, FlexForum, they envision a future where you, as the customer, the household or business owner, you'd have a really wide range of customer offerings to choose from that would allow you to truly maximize the value of your flexible resources, regardless of how much flexibility you actually have.
Okay, so give us some examples of what that might look like.
Sure. So someone who's got very limited or no ability to be flexible, they might still opt for a simple flat rate electricity plan
Right.
for predictable costs.
Okay.
Someone with some flexibility, like they have an EV.
That they can charge at different times. They might choose a time of use plan, but also receive payments for allowing a third party to manage their charging
Right.
to provide specific grid benefits. And then someone with a lot of flexibility.
Yeah.
Like they've got solar panels, a battery, and a smart thermostat. They could have a standard retail plan, a power purchase agreement to sell their excess solar at a good price, and also receive payments for allowing their resources to be used to help manage grid conditions.
Okay.
The key is that those financial incentives
Right.
for shift and shed flexibility
Yeah.
would be readily available.
Right. So how do we actually get there? What are the steps we need to take to fill these holes? What solutions are being proposed?
So the solutions really focus on addressing those underlying causes that we just talked about. So to overcome that lack of experience, FlixForum suggests more coordinated initiatives and incentives to build expertise across the electricity sector, particularly in how different stakeholders can work together to utilize flexibility effectively. They specifically mentioned the EECA pilot programs, as well as some recent allowances from the Commerce Commission
Right.
and the Electricity Authority's innovation pathway as good steps forward.
Okay, what about this idea then of a better integrated, more communicative system?
So that's where developing a coordinated work plan for a digitalized electricity system becomes really essential.
Right.
So this would involve things like establishing common open access communication methods, standardized contracts, and transparent pricing mechanisms for flexibility.
Right.
They highlighted existing initiatives like the flexibility plan, FlexTalk, and ResiFlex as valuable learning experiences that can inform this broader effort.
Yes.
The goal is to reduce the complexity and the risk for everyone involved in buying and selling flexibility.
Absolutely. And then how do we go about making flexibility more financially attractive than for those electricity retailers and the network operators?
So for retailers, FlexForum recommends developing standardized risk management products
Okay.
that are specifically designed for dependable flexibility.
Right.
They also suggest that retailers offer a wider array of power purchase agreements, including those linked to the spot price, shaped tariffs, and fixed price variable volume options
Right.
to better incentivize, flexible generation and consumption. And as we mentioned before, speeding up the development of that digitalized system
Yeah.
is really crucial.
Okay.
For network operators, they need clear financial signals that reward shift and shed flexibility, ideally through a flexibility exchange or platform.
Right.
And they also suggest that we need to kind of re-examine regulations to better incentivize the use of flexibility as an alternative to traditional network upgrades.
Right. And then the document goes into some specifics then about solutions for each of those four electricity services that we talked about earlier. Starting with transmission capacity management, what do they recommend there?
Yeah, the main idea here is to make payments for non-network solutions more readily available and a routine option.
Okay.
So they point to TransPower's Western Bay of Plenty plan as a potential blueprint for how this could work. The aim is to make these opportunities available to anyone with a suitable resource, not just through limited tender processes.
Right.
They also suggest exploring the concept of a forward-looking locational spot price discovery mechanism, which could help incentivize responses that postpone the need for transmission upgrades.
Okay. And then for managing capacity on those local distribution networks, what are the key recommendations there?
Similar principle, more frequent and accessible payments.
I
For non-network solutions,
Yeah.
they highlighted the experience of distribution companies like Aurora, Orion Power Co., and Vector, who are already exploring this approach.
Right.
FlexForm believes that payment-based cash signals are probably quickest way to make progress.
Mm-hmm.
As implementing complex dynamic pricing structures requires a lot of, you know, new technological capability.
Right.
They even mentioned successful examples like Octopus Energy's rebate in Wellington,
mm-hmm.
and Ecotricity's higher buyback rate in Lincoln during peak demand periods.
Wow.
These payment-based signals can work alongside existing, you know, demand-based pricing,
mm-hmm.
and controlled hot water discounts, again, utilizing exchanges or platforms to facilitate these transactions.
Right.
Could really improve transparency and accessibility.
Okay. And then finally, for those electricity supply services themselves, how can flexibility be better incorporated there?
Well, the focus here is on developing those standardized risk management products for shift and shed flexibility,
mm-hmm.
to encourage those responses to high spot prices,
right.
and network congestion.
Okay.
Offering a wider variety of power purchase agreement options.
Mm-hmm.
Spot linked, shaped, and fixed price. Variable volume is also key.
Right.
To give people more ways to benefit from their own electricity generation.
Yeah.
And they reiterate the importance of enabling those multiple trading relationships.
Mm.
So individuals can sell their power to one provider and buy from another to get the best possible deals.
Right. And we've heard a lot about this idea of a digitalized system. I mean, why is this so important for all of this to work?
Well, digitalization is like the foundation, you know,
mm-hmm.
for creating and delivering those crucial cash signals, and for making it easy for people to understand and choose the options that best suit their flexibility capabilities. FlexForum outlines a whole range of capabilities,
mm-hmm.
That need to be developed,
yeah.
including, you know, enhanced operational visibility,
mm-hmm.
improved forecasting,
mm-hmm.
the routine consideration of flexibility as a solution.
Yeah.
In network planning,
mm-hmm.
flexible connection agreements,
mm-hmm.
seamless communication flows between different parts of the system,
mm-hmm. yeah, okay.
clear dispatch practices for flexible resources,
mm-hmm.
and accurate measurement and settlement processes for those flexible services.
Mm-hmm.
It's about making the whole electricity system smarter,
right.
and more responsive.
Absolutely. And ultimately, what's the benefit of all this for the average electricity consumer?
Well, it's about giving you, the consumer, more power,
mm-hmm.
by having better access to information,
yeah.
about your own electricity use,
mm-hmm.
and clear pricing signals. You can make informed decisions about how to use your flexible resources to your advantage,
right.
and contribute to a more efficient and cost-effective electricity system for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, the document, it connects this back to the government policy statement on electricity, the GPS,
yeah.
from October 2024.
Mm-hmm.
How do these ideas align with government policy?
So FlexForum argues that addressing these gaps in the value stack,
mm-hmm.
directly supports several key objectives of the GPS.
Right.
It would lead to more accurate price signals in the wholesale market,
yeah.
enabling all participants, including those with flexible resources, to identify the most cost-effective solutions. It would make it easier for households and businesses to invest in and benefit from these flexible technologies, fostering greater competition,
yeah.
and maximizing the value of these resources. And it would ensure that the increasing potential of flexibility is effectively utilized to manage energy and capacity shortages, ultimately contributing to a more reliable and affordable power system.
Okay. So to sum up our deep dive then into the FlexForum Insights Learner, what are the key takeaways here?
The key message is that if we want to really unlock the full potential of flexibility,
mm-hmm.
both for you, the individual, and for the system as a whole, we need to address these holes in the value stack.
Mm-hmm.
And while the current system has its limitations, there are definitely pathways and solutions being explored to create the incentives and the infrastructure that we need.
Yeah. And on that note, Learner, we leave you with this to think about. I mean, think about your own energy consumption and any potential for flexibility that you might have. How do you see yourself fitting into this evolving energy landscape, and what questions has this deep dive sparked in your mind for further exploration? You know, it's clear that this is an ongoing process, and your understanding and your participation are going to play a vital role in shaping the future of our electricity system.
Couldn't agree more.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.